Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. It's been so long since we've last sat down with each other with some coffee or a cocktail in our hands to just chat about all things intuitive eating, the non-diet approach, and especially during this time where we're all locked down in quarantine, or if you are in the healthcare world or considered an essential worker, perhaps that isn't you, but maybe having time to sit down and unwind with a podcast has been helpful for you. I just feel like this time is more valuable than ever. So thank you for allowing me to take a couple weeks hiatus from recording the podcast. If you didn't already know, I recently, as in just this last week, moved halfway across the country from South Dakota to my new home of Indianapolis, where I am going to be starting a new position full-time working in a school district in food service. So I'm not necessarily a lunch lady per se, although I will say I have fond memories of being a substitute lunch lady during graduate school. So shout out to District 87 School District and Bloomington High School. I had a blast back in 2014 through 2016 with those ladies and a few gentlemen. But at this point, I'm actually going to be the assistant director of school nutrition here at one of the school districts in Indianapolis. So that's why I've moved halfway across the country for that in the midst of a pandemic. It certainly hasn't been ideal. With that said, I do have some exciting news. I know in the past I've mentioned that I used to sit on the floor of my clothing closet and record the podcast to hopefully get the best audio, and I was doing so with my iPhone headphones to use the speaker on there. But now I actually have a professional microphone. It's the Blue Yeti Nano, and I'm really excited about that. But with that being said, I do have a neighbor below me who likes to play loud music. Not particularly my taste, though I did find myself nodding along with it earlier. But if you do hear that in the background, I apologize. I'm still trying to figure this whole podcasting world out. I hope you guys are all hanging in there during this COVID-19 pandemic. I know it can be really challenging. I myself have found myself feeling a bit more anxious than I had been previously, and then adding that extra layer of moving halfway across the country and not being able to social distance as much as I'd like to just because I needed to move. That's been a little stressful for me, and I can imagine that you guys are going through very similar situations. Particularly, I want to send you some compassion if you're someone who's struggling with disordered eating at this time. And now we're adding that extra layer of all of this diet talk and the talk of the quarantine 15. And I'm saying that in quotations because I hate this trend, and I've talked about it on my social media channels before. But I think that adds this extra layer of anxiety, and then all of these live workouts as well. So I'm sending you so much compassion during this time. So the topic for today's episode has been long overdue. You've heard me mention intuitive eating on past episodes of the podcast, but some of you may have no idea what that means. In fact, if I were to venture a guess, I'd say most people in the world have no idea what the term intuitive eating means. And because of this, I thought it might be helpful early on in my podcasting career to break down what the term means. What is this concept? What are the principles? So for the next several episodes, I'm going to be breaking down each of those 10 principles for you. And I'm so thrilled to also be announcing that I have a bunch of experts lined up and in the future plans to be on the show to help break them down for you. So instead of hearing my singular perspective, I'm honored to be able to invite other experts that I've become acquainted with in the community over the years. But in today's episode, we're going to be covering what intuitive eating is, some of the research behind it, the difference between intuitive eating and mindful eating, and who intuitive eating is meant for. When I've thought of recording a series on intuitive eating, if I'm being perfectly honest, I've kind of dreaded it. And that's not because I don't love the subject. I think it's pretty obvious that it's something that I'm passionate about, especially if you see the types of things that I talk about on my Facebook page or my blog or my Instagram page. But there's something about it that there's this weird sense of responsibility in not screwing it up and not doing it enough justice. So I'm going to do what I often tell my clients to do, and that's take some of that pressure off of myself right off the bat by saying that I'm sure I'm going to screw some things up. I'll probably misspeak and not share enough nuance. And please, you are more than welcome to message me. My email is hello@spillingthebeansnutrition.com, or of course you can reach out to me on any of my socials. And feel free to let me know what I'm missing in these episodes, or if you have any questions that you'd like me to elaborate on in future episodes, feel free to lay it on me, because like I said, I'm human. I'm probably going to make mistakes, and I would love to be able to continue that conversation. So if I were to give you my elevator pitch on what intuitive eating is, I'd have to say intuitive eating is this way of eating where you're tuning into your hunger, fullness, satisfaction, while also learning to trust your body around food. And it helps to get you back to the way that you were born, knowing how to eat when you're hungry and stopping when you're full. And unlike the popular diets of today, where you have these long lists of foods to exclude and restrictions on times when you can and cannot eat, with an intuitive eating, no foods are out of your reach, nothing is off limits, there's no time restrictions, there's a lot of freedom. But of course, as I'm saying that, I'm sure that can sound incredibly unrealistic and intimidating to a lot of you. As I mentioned briefly in episode 5 of the podcast, intuitive eating was originally created by two dietitians. Their names are Elise Rush and Evelyn Triboli, and this was back in 1995. However, from my understanding, it didn't really pick up in popularity until about the last 10 years. At least I know I had never heard of that term until I was in graduate school, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later in this episode and how I stumbled upon intuitive eating. But it started to pick up in the last 10 years, even though it had been around since the 90s. But when you think about it, it's really quite radical that these two dietitians created something called intuitive eating, because at this time, that's when diets like Atkins diet and diets that were really emphasizing low fat and just lots of vegetables were quite popular. And so I'm sure it had to have been quite radical, because I know that's not what most dietitians were doing at the time. And even to this day, while I personally know so many incredible non-diet dietitians, and what I mean by that is we're not prescribing weight loss or diets, and we're rather focusing on behavior change and not restriction or rule focus, we're still in the minority of dietitians and healthcare practitioners, though there is a lot of growth in that area. So as I was preparing for this episode, naturally I had to pull out my dusty intuitive eating book and its companion workbook to brush up on some of the knowledge. And if you read or study like I do, then you're probably a very active reader, meaning you like to highlight things or write little notes on a sticky note or write on the page. And that's exactly how my books look in front of me. They're pretty tattered. And one section that I highlighted and I wanted to make sure that I bring up, because I find it really interesting myself, is that part of the reason that humans are able to tap into intuitive eating is because we're these complex creatures who are able to utilize instinct, emotion, and rational thought in our food decisions, and we're able to do so simultaneously. And of course, we're able to use our instinct, emotion, and rationale for other parts of our life, but of course, we're talking about food in this particular situation. And scientifically speaking, we have these three regions of the brain that are responsible for this type of thinking. And this is the reptilian brain, our limbic brain, and our neurocortex. And as you might be able to guess, the reptilian brain is in charge of our instincts. The limbic brain is key for our emotions and our social behaviors. And finally, the neurocortex provides us with that rational thought and our cognition. And the cool thing is that intuitive eating allows us to tap into all of these, our instinct, emotions, and rational thought, whereas diets tend to ignore much of this when you're only sticking to strict rules. And I think it's important to mention that intuitive eating includes all three of these things, because often it's easily watered down and you'll hear statements like, oh, intuitive eating is just eating whatever you want. Or you might hear other things like, yeah, you just eat when you're hungry and then you stop when you're full. And while parts of these statements are true, it really distorts the premise of intuitive eating. So let's just take that first statement, for example, which was intuitive eating is just eating whatever you want. So yes, you do have permission to eat whatever you want. That's one of the principles. And you have the ability to eat however much you want. But there are a number of reasons why it may not work out that way. And one of those reasons might actually be because if you're eating whatever you want all the time, you may not be having a very satisfying experience. And satisfaction is one of the other principles of intuitive eating, right? So if I'm just constantly eating donuts or every little thing that maybe comes to my mind, I may not feel the greatest either. Another reason that you might not always just eat whatever you want is possibly due to access or privilege. It's very much a privilege to be able to sit down and eat every little thing that sounds good right at that moment, right? We have to consider, is it something that costs a lot of money? Am I able to go and access this item at a grocery store or a restaurant? There's lots of different reasons why there might be barriers as to why you can't simply just eat whatever you want all the time. A third example of why this maybe isn't so simple as just eating whatever you want. So for someone who has celiac disease, they're not able to eat gluten. So there are trendy diets that are limiting gluten in your diet. But for people with celiac disease, they actually do need to take gluten out of their diet, or they have an inflammatory effect and often digestive effects as well. It can manifest itself in different ways for each person. So if you were craving bread, it might not feel too great for you to then eat an entire loaf of wheat bread just because it sounded good in the moment. Now, of course, there's nuance there, because we can talk in a future episode about how you can consider your health. So if you do have something like an allergy to peanuts, we can find alternative options that can help fit that void. But that's an entirely different subject for a different time that I'm not quite prepared to dive into this time. So hopefully you're kind of getting the idea that it's really a complex subject, and we're just going to be introducing you to it today and kind of getting you feeling comfortable with what intuitive eating means. And then, of course, we're going to break it down further when I go through each of those principles. So what are the principles? I know I had listed them in the last episode, but I never elaborated. So I want to elaborate just a little bit here before we go into more depth on future episodes. Principle one is reject diet mentality. And this principle is dissecting some of the ideas about weight and nutrition that we've been led to believe because of our mainstream diets. And we live in this world that focuses on size, and we're even seeing this wave of what we like to call healthism. And all of this is what we refer to as diet culture. However, diets are ultimately set up for failure because they make you keep coming back for more. So it comes back to making it seem like you're not disciplined enough, when in reality, the diet isn't attainable to begin with. So in this principle, you're encouraged to really push back at diet culture. So you might consider unfollowing diet-focused social media accounts, throw out your diet books that have been collecting dust on the shelves, and deleting those addicting calorie tracking apps. So this can be a super liberating way to kickstarting your journey to food freedom. Principle two is honor your hunger. And this principle is pretty self-explanatory, but can also be very challenging if you've been ignoring your hunger for a long time. There's this hunger fullness scale that you can utilize that will help you start recognizing what hunger looks like for you, because it's not always as obvious as a growling stomach for some people. Principle three is make peace with food. And in this principle, you're given this unconditional permission to eat, and all foods are allowed. So very similar to that example I gave earlier, but of course, this is just one of those principles. this can also be pretty intimidating for a lot of people because they think that if there's no rules, then they're going to eat everything. And often what our fear is, because we live in this world that emphasizes weight so much, is the fear is that you'll gain a ton of weight because you'll be out of control. But something that happens when you restrict food is that you tend to crave them more and then you result in binging them more. So it's not this lack of willpower like we believe it is. Therefore, it's so important that you make peace with food and you start to look at all foods in a neutral light. Principle 4 is challenge the food police. You've probably labeled foods as good and bad before, I know I have, and you've also likely felt guilty for eating a certain way. But with this principle, you're going to learn to silence your inner food police. And sometimes this might also mean silencing that outer food police if you have a lot of these messages from family or friends or from the media that you're consuming. Principle 5 is feel your fullness. And much like it's important to tune into your hunger with principle 2, it's also helpful to understand what comfortable fullness looks like for you. So practicing mindfulness while eating can be very helpful with this principle. Principle 6 is discover the satisfaction factor. A lot of times, and I know I was the same way when I first started learning about intuitive eating, was, well, why do we need a principle for fullness and satisfaction? Aren't they the same thing? And they're not. So there's this big difference between satisfaction and fullness. So I'll give you an example. I can get physically full if I eat a lot of celery sticks. But if I was craving cheese, for example, then I'm probably not going to be satisfied from that meal, and I'll still be looking for other foods to eat because I only was filled up but not satisfied. Principle 7 is cope with your emotions. We've all eaten emotionally at some point in our life, and this doesn't have to be a negative thing. Even having birthday cake is considered emotional, right? We're doing it because we're happy and we're celebrating, but often the connotation is that we're eating emotionally when we're sad or we're anxious or whatever other emotion that you're experiencing. It's not inherently a bad thing, but if you have no other coping mechanisms, then this can become problematic in your life. Therefore, this principle helps you build this toolbox of coping techniques and self-care mechanisms. Principle 8 is respect your body. Each of our bodies has its own genetic blueprint, if you will. So my genetics are going to be very different than your genetics, and vice versa. I have, you know, German ancestry and Norwegian ancestry, which also has influence along with my familial traits. So it's important to be able to appreciate your own unique genetics and your own unique body. And this is where you see a lot of overlap between Health at Every Size, or HAES, as it's commonly referred to as, and you can learn more about body diversity. And I have a lot of guests in mind that would be awesome to better explain what Health at Every Size is. The final two principles revolve around exercise and nutrition, and the reason they're reserved for last is because there's a lot of unlearning that needs to be done before you can start incorporating exercise and what we call gentle nutrition from this non-disordered place or a diety place. So if we would have thrown exercise and nutrition right into the mix off the bat, this would have just been no different than any other diet that's out on the market. So it's important that we unlearn all of these messages that we're hearing in the world around us before we dive into these. So principle 9 is exercise, feel the difference. And when you've exercised in the past, at least what I've noticed from my clients, you've maybe associated it with a new diet or trying to lose weight. So we need to detach those two things. With intuitive eating, you'll be thinking of exercise in terms of what makes your body feel good and also feel energized. And finally, principle 10 is honor your health with gentle nutrition. This is where you can start incorporating your knowledge of nutrition. And when I say that, I mean good knowledge of nutrition, not the keto diets of the world and the paleo diets and the Whole30s. We're going to learn proper nutrition. And I put that in quotes as well because I think proper nutrition can be taken to this perfectionistic extreme as well. Intuitive eating doesn't mean that you're no longer eating a balanced plate, which I think is the common misconception. But now we're at this point when you get to principle 10, where you can tie everything together neatly and you can consider nutrition when you're thinking about your meals. All of this might sound pleasant in theory, but you might be wondering if this has been researched. And the answer is yes. In fact, there's over 100 research studies that detail some of those benefits of this way of eating. I'll be sure to link to these in the show notes. In these studies, you'll find that intuitive eating is associated with lower rates of disordered eating, emotional eating, lower triglyceride levels, and higher HDL cholesterol levels, which are considered our good cholesterol levels. It's also been associated with higher self-esteem, better body image, optimism, and greater satisfaction with life. So it's not just this concept that sounds good in theory, it actually has been studied. Plus, I've seen some pretty incredible anecdotal evidence from my own clients, as well as my colleagues' clients, where they've utilized the principles and had great success in their own lives. Another thing I wanted to include in this episode is the difference between intuitive eating and mindful eating, because there is actually a difference. When I was first learning about both concepts, I used the words interchangeably. There are definitely similarities, but there are differences as well. Mindful eating is defined by their institute as allowing yourself to become aware of the positive and nurturing opportunities that are available through food selection and preparation by respecting your own inner wisdom. The definition also mentions, quote, using all your senses in choosing to eat food that is both satisfying to you and nourishing to begin and end eating. Okay, so that was a mouthful. Basically, you're bringing greater awareness to your eating in terms of what you're eating, how you're eating, and perhaps the environment in which you're eating. There's a lot of overlap between intuitive eating and mindful eating, but let me give you an example of where there is a bit of a difference. Let's say I'm in a hurry, rushing across town in my car between two different appointments. It's around lunchtime and I'm quite hungry, so I quickly eat some fast food on my drive to my next engagement. Now, this wasn't a particularly mindful way of eating, so I probably can't count this as eating mindfully. I was pretty focused on my driving more than anything else that I was doing, and definitely not particularly focused on my eating. However, I was honoring my hunger in this instance because I knew that I needed something to eat, and I understood that sometimes it's not always going to be the most tranquil setting. And that's just part of life. So hopefully you can kind of see, yes, there's definitely this overlap between mindful eating and intuitive eating, but there are instances where you are going to be eating in honor of your hunger, in honor of your fullness and satisfaction, but it's maybe not the most mindful, or you're not giving the greatest attention to your chewing and eating slower and all that jazz. Does that make sense? And finally, you might be asking, who is intuitive eating for? And the short answer is everybody. Often people think that intuitive eating is only for people with eating disorders because it's frequently discussed in that capacity. However, anyone can utilize these principles. My only caveat is that if you're currently recovering from an eating disorder, you're likely going to need to work with your dietitian to come up with a meal plan, because you probably don't have a great idea of what your hunger and fullness looks like. And sometimes what I find is that people with eating disorders don't ever feel hungry because they've numbed it for so long. But in the meantime, you can still be working through those principles of intuitive eating with your dietitian while you do your modified meal plan. Okay, so this was all a lot of information, and you're probably feeling a bit overwhelmed. Even just talking about all of this, I'm kind of like, oh my goodness, this is so much information for you guys to digest. But to put this in perspective, I wanted to wrap it up by telling you a little bit about when I first learned about intuitive eating. So when I first learned about intuitive eating, I was actually in graduate school, which means I had gone all the way through my undergraduate dietetic studies without ever hearing the term intuitive eating. And thinking about this now, it really blows my mind, but I don't think it was as big of a topic as it currently is. So maybe they're starting to include it in curriculum. So I first heard about it when my classmate and now friend Gina was researching it for a grad school paper. And when she told me about it and how maybe it's something that I should consider incorporating into my own life, I thought it sounded crazy because she mentioned things like eating whatever you want and listening to your hunger and fullness. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not going to work for me. That I have no self-control. So I'm telling you this all because if you're feeling this way now, I see you, you're not alone. And it wasn't until 2 years later that I finally picked up the book she had loaned me and sat down to read it. And it was life-changing. I remember reading through those pages of the book and thinking, wow, I thought that was just me, or I felt so ashamed for eating this way and I thought I just had no self-control. And prior to that, I had struggled with certain degrees of disordered eating since high school. And that's actually a huge reason why I was so drawn to the field of dietetics to begin with. I thought it would be this way to fix myself and ensure I'd never gain weight, which is crazy for me to think back to now. But by the time I was in graduate school, I tried all kinds of diets and forms of restriction. I overexercised, I counted calories, I went plant-based for a period of time. I think there was a period of time where I also tried the paleo diet. And it wasn't until after I had sat down and passed my registered dietitian exam in the summer of 2016 that I finally read the book and it started clicking with me and I started thinking of food and exercise differently. But I'm telling you all this because I know it's intimidating and I know it's scary to leave your food rules behind. There's likely this sense of security that comes along with them. And I'm also telling you this because I want you to know that this process takes time. My personal journey to a happier, more balanced place with food and exercise didn't take place overnight. Like I said, it took me 2 years to even pick up that book because I was so ambivalent. And yours isn't going to be that quick either. So be patient with yourself. But I can tell you that it is possible to find a good, stable relationship with your food and body image and exercise. I'm so excited to share more about intuitive eating and break down the principles in upcoming episodes. And I'm also thrilled to be able to bring on other experts in the field, both therapists and dietitians and whoever else I can get my hands on. I think you'll really love hearing from them and you'll find a lot of value in that as well. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.